It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you today. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Our guest for today is Jennifer Conklin, Principal for Cogeneration. That's K-O-J-E-N. I like the play on words. You know, our topic for today is predicting and improving leadership performance. And Jennifer is the principal researcher for the Leadership Study, which is a cutting-edge research project involving leaders from across the country. The study investigates the critical factors that drive performance in leaders in roles ranging from emerging leaders through executive positions. And she has designed and led this research with particular emphasis in balanced development in leaders' critical thinking and interpersonal skills. The results of this award-winning research are shared with the practitioner community in the form of tools, resources, and best practice approaches designed to increase the impact and scope of professional development for leaders. Well, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show, Jennifer.
Thank you, Doug.
I am so excited to have you on the show. I'll just share with the audience, Jennifer was doing a seminar for the International Coach Federation Los Angeles chapter, and I couldn't make it, and I really wanted to hear what she had to say, so I twisted her arm and got her to be on our radio show so I could hear all about it.
Well,
you are,
good. We'll
you
hear
are
all
so
about
accommodating.
I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Way to go. Well, look, let's start out with a little background. Tell the audience a little bit about what you did before what you're doing now.
Sure. You know, my path really started on a very specific day, and I was working as part of a larger team on assessment centers. And Doug, if you know what assessment centers are, they're three-day or four-day experiences where people go through really intensive exercises. So they might do some pre-work, some personality assessments, and other such type of exercises in advance to really identify whether they have fit in the team dynamics. And then they show up and they go through some multiple business simulations to really uncover issues related to business acumen. And then they continue to go through individual and group assignments over the multi-day experience to determine leadership style. And it's a series of intensive exercises. And it culminates in a detailed feedback session at the end. And one participant in the middle of this session had this aha moment where he just blurted out, leading this company, and he's talking about this multi-million dollar company that he's the vice president of, and he's saying, leading this company is more than any one of us can handle, and we really have to work together if we're going to be successful. And it just kind of stopped me there, and I was like, geez, that was kind of insightful, that you can't sort of be your own rock star and expect the whole company to perform. And you can't be your own rock star and expect yourself to perform when you're really at that level in the hierarchy. And it just really got me interested in what does it mean to perform and what does leadership performance mean when you get to that level? Because we know a lot about what performance is for individual contributors. So
sure.
I think it was really at that point that got me started. And so since then, I've just sort of shaped my direction and started working at a couple of different consulting firms where I had the opportunity to grow into different practice areas in organizational development and explore that interest a little bit more. And recently took the plunge into my own firm where I could specialize specifically in performance for leaders.
Well, you know, you are the only person I've ever met that can point to the exact day that they changed course. I mean, that's wonderful.
It really sticks with me.
Well, okay, so that brings us up to your current business. Tell us about your current business. What do you do? Who are your clients? What are the things that you provide to them?
Sure, absolutely. So Cogeneration has conducted research with in-role leaders across a number of industries spanning the United States. And so we use this information to publish validated tools that we call the leadership dashboards. Now, the Leadership Dashboard Assessments are professional development tools that measure workplace behaviors that are predictive of performance. Now, this is really important to be careful about what it is that we develop in, because professional development is challenging and it can be costly. So look at the current investment in hiring a coach and knowing that what areas to work in can really help with shortening that developmental timeline and also funneling some of that cost into the right area so people know that when they're growing in areas that are going to have impact for the long term. And so what these leadership dashboards do is they provide focus in the form of behavioral feedback and nationwide comparisons with other similarly ranked leaders, so leaders receive feedback on not only what their colleagues perceive, but also their relative standing compared to their counterparts in other companies. So people can do self-assessments or manager assessments, 360-degree assessments, and these types of things. They can also receive support in training in the use of these tools, debrief services, group development, or ongoing coaching to augment performance and development in any of these areas.
So, Jennifer, how is your assessment process, or how is it different? How is it unique from other people that do similar things? And mm-hmm. I say that with all ignorance about what you exactly do.
Mm-hmm. It's unique in a couple of ways, primarily because it's informed by the research of what's predictive of performance. So if we know the areas that are predictive of performance, and we're going to get into the research that that informs the tools here in just a minute, but the leadership study has informed us as to what are the competencies and the specific behaviors that are predictive of performance for leaders. And so what we found out is that there's a couple of particular areas that are predictive of 54% of a leader's performance. And that's sizable. And it's actually consistent across industries. And the specific behaviors change slightly as you're moving up the ladder into different areas of leadership. So it's a little different at line managers, slightly different again at directors, and again slightly different when you get into executive positions. And all of those areas that are predictive of performance are sizably different than what we know is true for individual contributors.
Okay. All right. So who's your typical client? What's the profile of sort of your ideal client?
Typical clients are those that are practicing in the area of development. And so I find that folks that are interested are in HR as well as coaches, as well as business leaders that are oriented towards increasing the performance of their teams. And so I've been finding that business unit leaders are also using these types of tools when they're performance-oriented and integrated into the goals of their existing goals of their teams.
And what's the typical time frame for an engagement for you?
Usually about a month in order to allow sufficient data collection. If you're using a 360-degree assessment, anything that's a manager assessment or a self-assessment, they can be about 2 weeks.
Okay. And that's just to sort of come up with the data. And then I assume the coach or the HR department would then spend additional time sort of implementing and executing. Would that be right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. All right. So, all right, question that we have asked every guest we've ever had on the show, and we've not yet got a duplicate, so I'm crossing my fingers. What particular experience or key lesson has sort of been your guiding tool that guides you through life or through business?
A guiding tool. Well, I think a guiding tool that I would have to say that I follow is around efficiency and making the most of our efforts. We only have so much time in the day, and at some point in our careers, people shift in their roles where they're in their roles because they're effective and they're not in roles as hourly folks anymore. What I saw early on in folks is in their when they're going through development is that they have development plans. We would come in as a team and have either assessments and developmental discussions with them, help them fill out a development plan, and then you come back in another 6 months later to for another initiative, and you ask them, hey, how's your development plan going? Oh, yes, that development plan. You know, I've been busy, or there's this other priority, or we're not working on those goals anymore. Yes, they're important. And so a bunch of these other kinds of things came up for them. And it was interesting, you know, to kind of hear, like, they had these great intentions, but the development plans that they were creating just never got fulfilled if you kind of check in with them on the long term. And I ended up deploying coaches through a nationwide coaching network a couple of years ago, and I did that for several years. I would deploy coaches, and we'd pull coaches from multiple different sources. And it was interesting to see coaches with different backgrounds use different styles. So I had coaches that were ICF-certified, coaches that would come up from an HR and OD background, coaches that were academically trained, and coaches that were a vice president or a CEO and then came back and coached. So coaches from the business community. And the biggest difference I found were the coaches that came in that had an executive background and then went out and were deployed were these executives. And they ended up integrating some of their business goals into the development opportunities. And my research wasn't in yet from my leadership study. And so I didn't kind of understand why this approach was working so well at the time, but they were using this integrated approach, and they asked a lot of questions around, well, what decisions are you making, and how are you integrating this business goal with the decisions that you're making, and are you getting the whole team involved, and how are you influencing them? And it just seemed a little bit of a different approach than creating a goal specifically around some of the more traditional goals that people would create around the 360 data and that type of thing.
Okay.
And so I've kind of come full circle back to this integrated approach seems to be this driving force for me, where efficiency and integrating the approach just has really led me along.
You know, I want to use the word focus in there, too. How do you feel about that? It sounds like you're really very clear about maintaining focus on what people are working on.
Yes. Yeah, so that what they're working on is meaningful and gets them to the end goal that they really want to achieve.
Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this mysterious study and this dashboard. What is the leadership study?
So the leadership study is a research program that I've been working on for a number of years. So there's actually a couple of studies. It's a little misleading that it's called study with just one. There's actually a couple that are in there. But that said, I first went out looking at, well, what is it that predicts performance for leaders? So that was really the purpose. And so you had summarized it nicely in the introduction into looking at what is the interpersonal skills, what is the critical thinking skills that's needed in leaders in order for them to perform, knowing that the goals that leaders have, they don't necessarily complete it themselves. They typically have a team. So they might have 3, 4, 5 people that goal cascades to, and each person has a piece of that goal that needs to somehow come together for completion. And so in there needs to be some form of relationship management and conflict management and some of these critical thinking components in order to finally attain the goal or the performance. So at the time, I was thinking that it might be things around the line of emotional intelligence and what happens under those critical moments of stress.
Okay.
Okay, so how does one handle the outward reaction when when a stressful moment comes about. And so we're measuring performance by looking at effectiveness and efficiency, whether or not job responsibilities get completed, quality and contribution to company effectiveness, so these types of things. And the results come in, and it says emotional intelligence and reaction to stress actually don't predict any of those things. And I was like, wow, I wonder if I did it all wrong. That was just, it almost didn't really make a lot of sense to me, thinking like relationships really seem to be important for managers, you know, it just intuitively made sense. So I kind of scratched my head about that for a while. And so I was like, all right, well, let's continue going through this data and find out what else the story is here, because this just is scratching my head a little too much. So let's look at the critical thinking piece, because we know cognitive ability predicts a sizable amount of performance for individual contributors. It predicts about 25% of an individual contributor's performance. So it's got to predict something of a manager's performance. And it also didn't predict performance. I'm like, wow. I'm either on to something or I'm on to nothing, is what this is telling me. And so, remember, we're measuring performance as completion of responsibilities, quality, effectiveness, efficiency, this type of thing. So all of these areas are predictive of other areas, just not what I'm measuring as performance. You have to remember what the actual outcome is here, because that's important here. Now, this was a nationwide study, and I had 36 companies participating from across the country. And so when I looked at the data from across each company, this predicted 42% of the manager's performance. So this is really where one of the big findings was that there's something about whether or not the manager fits in their environment is a key predictor of their performance. So this is where now we kind of hold the presses a little bit and say, well, all right, so now let's think about some very different types of companies. Think of Pepsi, which is kind of known to be very competitive, and then you think of a hospital, which is a hospital setting where typically you have a very collaborative kind of a setting where everyone is just so very nice to one another, and you have one person. So if they're very successful in that hospital setting, maybe that same manager wouldn't be quite as successful than at Pepsi, where it's so competitive and where they'd have to be very aggressive. So that's what that finding is sort of saying. It's the environment and the fit within that individual's expression of their behaviors.
So that's going to lead you to measuring fit?
Yes. Measuring whether they fit in their environment. So now that led me then to think, well, I wonder what specific behaviors we're talking about here. So I had measured with a 360-degree assessment various different behaviors among eight different competencies. So I had looked at decision-making and influence, results orientation and execution, and among with a couple of others. So those four different competencies ended up predicting 54% of a leader's performance.
Wow.
Yes. And
yeah.
So these four areas, I suspect, would shift a little based on the culture. So again, think in Pepsi, you might have to be a little bit more aggressive in your influence style, so the way that some of these behaviors are expressed might shift by culture, but we at least know the category areas. The category areas, in fact, have been consistent across both industry as well as company, and in fact, the behaviors underneath each of those categories were consistently predictive.
So no change cross industry?
No. In fact, very consistent. Decision-making and results orientation, predicting the lion's share. So influence and execution diminutive against those two.
So once you have this, then how do you use this?
So what we do then is we use this in form of an assessment using the actual behaviors in these categories. So we have behavioral statements that people can rate. And so we can use, because we had so many folks nationwide across different industries participate in this, we actually have a nationwide data set. So people can compare and see, well, geez, you know, I'm in the financial industry, and I'm a 4 on the 5-point scale, and I thought a 4 on the 5-point scale is pretty good. And they see, oh, most people in the finance industry is a 4.5. Maybe I'm lagging. Or they see I'm a 4 on a 5-point scale and most people in the finance industry here is a 3.5, I'm actually doing pretty good. And then they can also see what their peers are saying about that behavior as well and how their peers' feedback is comparative to their own self-perception and the industry standard and whether or not their peers are saying that's in need of development or a strength. And now that we have some target competencies and specific behaviors that we know are predictive of performance, they have an idea as to where they can target for impact in long-term growth. They have
and
specific behavioral areas that they can gain some runway.
Do you have any stories you can share with us here about, you know, as an example of a situation to really sort of bring this home for the audience?
I do, actually. You know, I was just with a client last week, actually, and I was showing them some reports here of the leadership dashboard, and they were like, you know, we have this document that we've been creating specifically about how we want some of these behaviors communicated and how we would like everyone in the organization to continue using some of these behaviors so that it really reinforces the same type of behaviors. And so what we're seeing is a convergence of not only people, you can see the value at the individual level, so individuals can have their own individual growth as a leader, but now you can see at the team or even organizational level how it cascades through the organization. They're publishing a document and they're trying to get a cultural shift, so more than just one individual person is exhibiting that same behavior or those similar behaviors. And their document was actually about 12 pages linking about specifically how they wanted meetings run in their organization and how they wanted goals to be set and executed and communicated through their organization, specifically focusing on decision-making in the results orientation sections.
And we're back live. If you're listening to us, and obviously you are, we're talking to Jennifer Konkin, president or principal of CodeGeneration. If you're listening live, thank you very much. If you're listening to our podcast, thanks for visiting our website. Either way, be sure to check out either our website or our Podbeam site, dgefeller.podbeam.com, to listen to some of our past shows with some other great guests and some interesting topics. So we're talking to Jennifer today about her leadership study and predictors of performance.
We were just talking through the dashboard and how it's related to the leadership study.
Yeah, and where you had kind of left me with that was I sort of moved away from thinking that this was a tool to help an individual on their improving the performance of their leadership style to you sort of moved into company culture. Now, does this have a broader use for culture? Or is this an individual management tool?
The existing tool itself, the tool that's branded the Leadership Dashboard, is intended for individual use. Now, it absolutely can be used in a group style where in a group of leaders can all go through and receive feedback and review group scores. I have used it in that manner. impacting the group culture is, I think, a next-level study which I'd like to do and really look at the correlative factors between what are the specific aspects of culture that are specifically linked to behaviors that individuals can look at. Because I think that we don't know that quite as fully as we'd like to. We know that they are linked, but I don't know that we know the extent to which they are at this point.
I would definitely agree with you there. I mean, I have a lot of discussion with business managers talking about the fact that the culture that they're working in is not the culture that they want it to be, and nobody seems to know really how to change that.
And I think that there's opportunity to gain better linkage between the specific behaviors that leaders can influence in order to cascade that influence throughout their organization. And I think that the leadership study has been the first step in that direction, and that there's opportunity for next steps into linking those two. The first study where we sort of, to be honest, more accidentally found that culture predicted so much of performance, started opening the door for that, and I'd like to further explore that now that we have some behaviors that are predictive of performance and we found that culture is predictive of performance. The next study that I'm planning is the one that links the two so that we can have a clearer idea what it is specifically leaders can do in order to make some of that influence.
Have you found, Jennifer, have any of the coaches or HR people that are using your tool, are they coming back after a period of time and reassessing to see if, in fact, the activities that they've engaged in as a result of the first study, if, in fact, they're producing the kind of results that they'd like to see?
Mm-hmm. Yes, though I'm encouraging folks to not reassess until at least a year, if not 18 months, just to really give folks enough runway time to make some changes within their environments and make changes within their own leadership styles.
That makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. We don't change quickly, do we?
We don't, and especially if folks are using the 360-degree feedback approach, it does cause some organizational impact with a number of those feedback forms that go out, and so we'd want to make sure that we're being respectful of all the folks that are participating.
Okay. Now, help me get clear on the dashboard, because I have to admit that when I saw the word leadership dashboard, my mind went to the way we typically use the word dashboard in business, which is a quick view of various metrics that we're looking at to measure performance, output, those kinds of things. What mm-hmm. is the dashboard?
So the dashboard is, in physical version, it's a paper report. You can get it in PDF. They are performance metrics that you can use for development if you want to use it in that term. Most typically call them competencies, in behavioral anchors. And so what you receive is a view of both yourself, your manager, your peers, and your direct report ratings in aggregate forms. And so you have your ratings compared with the nationwide ratings. And so you can really compare across all of these multiple perspectives in metrics, in bar graphs, so that you can really see where you land against all of these different perspectives. Then you can also see your nationwide or your industry ranking compared to your level. So if you're an executive, you would choose the executive in the, let's say, in the finance industry. And then you can see, I've ranked myself at the 51st percentile or higher than 50% of all other managers or executives in the finance industry. And then you can also see, my manager has ranked me higher than 95% of others in this industry. Or maybe it's that your peers have ranked you. You can kind of see the difference. You can see the difference by the different groupings as well, and it ranks you against all of your counterparts industry-wide.
Okay, so if I...
Does that make it a little clearer?
Pardon?
Does that make it a little bit clearer?
Yes, it does. So let me rephrase it, and I know I'm not using the right terms, but so I'm looking at this dashboard of, was it 8 behaviors?
8 competencies and 40 behaviors.
8 competencies and 40 behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
That basically I can see how I ranked myself. I can see how my people ranked me. I can look and see how I rank against similar sized companies, same industry sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of which I'm looking at because these rankings are statistically a predictor of my performance. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that I've looked at that and I'm not happy with where I'm at, what would I do?
So at that point, then, you'd want to look at what you might do for development. And so at your feedback, sitting down and conducting a feedback meeting, then we would discuss, well, these are some priority areas. What goals are you working on in your next quarter? And so you might say, well, I'm creating this construction, we're working for this construction firm, and we're creating this parking garage. Oh, okay. So how does this one behavior, where can you express this one behavior in your everyday environment? Right. Remember going back to those development plans that end up in people's drawers or in the circular file bin that don't get used very often. When people have the opportunity to use those behaviors every day, they become new habits.
Yeah.
So again, we go back to integrated development. And so we don't need to create a new goal based on just this one behavior. We want to integrate it into their existing goals that they're already doing.
Now the work that your firm does is you've developed these studies, more than one, and you probably administer and explain the results of it. Am I right so far?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to, okay, now I've looked at where I'm ranked, I want to make some changes. Are you involved in that, or is that passed off someplace else?
You know, we do it in both directions. What I found is that in some cases, working with some practitioners who have already developed practices and they would like to use the tools themselves. Some HR folks have developed relationships where they deliver the feedback themselves internally. In some cases with business unit leaders, they prefer that I come in and do the feedback for them, as well as in some cases with HR practitioners, they prefer I come in and deliver the feedback, just dependent on the nature of their integrated talent management strategies.
Okay.
And so it really is just dependent on the situation.
Right. And what is your overall goal with this study? Is your goal to do more research, to do more implementation of the studies? Is it to provide a tool for coaches or HR people to use themselves? I mean, do you license others to use your tool? Where are you going with this?
I license others to use the tool. My primary goal is to release the assessments out to others for use, as well as to gain further understanding as to what actually does predict performance for leaders. And so I would like to do that next level research between the cultural implications and the behaviors that leaders can do in order to drive their cultural influence through the organization. And I think that's a really interesting next step, given that you may have an overarching culture throughout the organization, but in each business unit, the culture might be a little bit different. And even within each team within those, the culture might be even slightly different again. And so I think that leaders have a very complicated structure to be working in order to be cascading their performance through. And so it would be wonderful for them to have a little bit more clarity around which behaviors have more impact in that kind of an environment.
Okay. So I'm a business coach, and I'm now aware of what you do, and it sounds fascinating. And I have clients that I work with that obviously would like to improve their performance. What would be my next step?
The tools, I really work towards trying to make the tools as easily accessible as possible for folks. What I found through using both self-assessments and 360-degree assessments with partners is that if I handle most of the administration for them, typically works best. And that way all you need to do really is either send me an email, give me a phone call, and let me know what level you'd like this individual compared against, what industry, if you would like industry-specific data for them to be compared against, and I can send you the list. And then I'll administer it and send me the date to start it, and I'll send updates twice a week as to what their response rates are. And then send you a PDF of their report. Try to make it as easy as possible for those practitioners.
So you don't really, so you're able to work across the United States. You're not really tied to physically having to be any place to do this.
No, not at all. Across the United States. In fact, the original research was across the United States, all run here right out of San Diego.
Is that where you're at?
That is where I'm at.
You know, I should have asked you that earlier. You know, I talk to people on the radio show, and I never know where they're at. If they're in the studio, it's then I know. But well, look, tell me, what else have we not talked about that you would like our listeners to know? And remember, we've got coaches out there, and we've got HR people, and we've got business executives. What do you want them to walk away with from this conversation?
I would like them to walk away with knowing that that there is research going on about what predicts performance for leaders, that while the research may be new, it is forthcoming, and there is there's actually been others before me that has been looking into this area, and so I have been building on their work. And there was actually some really exciting work coming out of Stanford just last year about the importance of decision-making skills. And this was actually, they had asked just over 200 senior leaders about what is it that they are working on with their coaches. And then they asked, what do they think is their biggest area for personal development? And I thought, well, geez, that's almost kind of funny to ask those two questions, because aren't you going to get the same response? And they didn't get the same response. And they found that there's just a greater appetite in some areas. So there's a greater appetite by senior leaders for more work in the areas of decision-making skills and conflict management skills and persuasion skills, so more in that influence area, which mirrors the areas of decision-making, influence, and results orientation that I've been talking about here today. So what we're hearing from senior leaders as to what they're looking for, what we see from senior leaders when they go out and coach and when they're impactful, is that they actually work in this area, and then they see impact with their goals. And then what we see from the research that actually drives performance and predicts performance tends to all circle around some of these areas. And so I guess what I want folks to walk away with is that There tends to be a bit of a convergence lately in the research about what is predicting performance at some of these higher levels of leadership.
So I've got people sitting in the audience out there, open checkbooks, wanting to know, what action do you want me to take, Jennifer? What do you want them to do?
They can go ahead and give me a phone call, and I can get them set up with their leadership dashboard assessments.
Great. And they would call you at what number?
They can call me at 619-519-6327.
And your website is?
www.cogeneration.com, spelled K-O-J-E-N-E-R-A-T-I-O-N.
That is great. You know, I have really enjoyed this. This is a fascinating field. I mean, you are obviously on the cutting edge of an age-old question. what do I do that makes it work sometimes and that makes it not work other times? I just think it's fascinating, and I think you have got a great tool there for coaches and for HR people to really utilize. Has any of this been used, or do you see an application for this as a predictor in hiring people in any way?
You know what, it hasn't been used that way, and I don't know. I've seen one firm using 360 assessments in hiring. I don't know that I subscribe to that myself. So okay. I don't know that I would take it in that direction. I think the assessments would have to be built in a slightly different manner than that.
Yeah, it seems like a stretch to me. It's sort of like asking me how good I am. I can pretty much tell you what the answer is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, then there's the self-assessment, but that in hiring situations, that would be easy to bias, I would suspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it would just have to be built differently.
So let me ask you this before we sign off here. Are you scheduled for any presentations or workshops that our audience should know about in the near future?
You know what? I was just last week with the ICF, and but I guess they missed that one. So well, unless they have a time machine and can go back in time to attend that one, I heard that one was good. So I'm sorry that you missed that one. But perhaps next time.
But, you know, we have close to a time machine in that this is going to get recorded as a podcast, and we are going to put it up early next week onto our website. And those of you who missed it can re-listen to it again and catch the nuggets of wisdom here that Jennifer has shared with us. Jennifer, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Doug. I enjoyed it.
That's been fun. And thank you and welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio community. Well, look, this is Doug DeFeller saying thank you very much for listening today. We're glad you were with us. This is our weekly broadcast in case you stumbled across us by mistake. You know, you were looking for hip-hop music or something, and you got into this serious discussion. We're glad you're with us. We broadcast live on octalkradio.net every Thursday, or almost every Thursday. And if we're not here, somebody equally fascinating will be here instead of us. Also, you can check our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or dgefeller, that's D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbean.com for our archived radio shows. And, you know, we've been doing this for about 6 years now, and we've got quite a collection of very interesting guests, some controversial, some exciting, and some just pure genius. So catch it. Of course, we've got a few with our radio announcer. Those fall in a whole different category. So this is Doug DeFeller signing off, thanking you for all your support this past month. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And let me just say that we have a show. Our next show coming up is next week on the 17th, and we will have a guest, Barry Dempt, who has a blog known as The Quotable Coach. And Barry puts out a coach every day. He's just released a new book of quotes, and you really want to listen to this broadcast. His quotes, it's not just a book of quotes. You're going to love this for you self-improvement people. His quotes always include an exercise with some suggestions on how to implement the life lesson behind the quote. So going to be a great show. Be sure to tune in. That's next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.